Good morning.
It's 7:49 a.m. on Thursday, August the 17th. It's noisy here this morning. Here comes a dump truck. Great. So I got a couple of things that I'm thinking about this morning. One is don't wrestle with pigs, and the other is good enough is good enough. The second one came across this morning, actually yesterday, a conversation in the podcasting community Facebook group where somebody asked, when there are so many much better tools available than Audacity, why do people continue to use Audacity? And it's like, okay, I don't need an 18-wheeler to get groceries. There isn't any question that a semi-tractor can haul more groceries. No question about it at all. There's no question that I can get groceries from Europe with an airplane. Nope. The problem is, I don't need that many groceries. I don't need to go to Europe to get groceries. I really only need to go like a mile down the street. So an airplane is kind of useless. And a tractor trailer, while it can carry thousands of pounds of groceries, well, I need about, 10 pounds. More if I have to buy kitty litter. But I don't need a tractor trailer. I don't need an airplane. Really, for most of the time, I only need my bicycle. I don't really need my car, unless I'm getting kitty litter. Or stocking up on soft drinks. And so this idea of superior. Why don't people use superior tools? Because affordability can't be the only factor. No, in fact, affordability is only, I'm not going to lie, it's a factor. It's part of the calculus that goes into what tool do I use. But as I pointed out on the thread, it's what I have. So there's a lot of inertia involved in using the tool that I have. And because I have it, it's the tool that I use. And I've been using it for 10 years. More, I've been using it since January of 2007. So I've been using it for 10 and a half years. And because I've been using it that long, I know how it works. I know what to click. I know what the options are. I know how to make it do what I need it to do. And it does it reliably. So this notion of superior, well, yeah, I'm sure there are tools that do more. There are tools that do a lot more. But they're doing things I don't need to do. They're doing things that I don't really care about. And so the idea that they might be superior because I may have to pay 20 bucks for them, or I may have to pay 150 bucks for them, it doesn't odd. It just isn't even a consideration. So this idea that superiority is relative has been sort of banging around in my head overnight. And I got, you know, I got doubled down on this morning. I said, well, yes, but you don't have to do any of this stuff. Which is sort of my point. I don't need to do any of this stuff. That's why I don't change. That's why I don't pick a different tool. That's why I don't spend money. That's why I don't change my workflow. It's working. And in the absence of any kind of actual need on my part to correct a problem, to fix an error, to do something that I don't normally do, but would like to, there's absolutely no incentive for me to change. It's not a question of inertia. It's not a question of ignorance. It's not a question of, I don't know there are other tools out there that do more things. It's not I can't afford it. I probably could use the tax deduction. But the reality is, I don't need it. Because superior is not superior over good enough when good enough is good enough. So maybe I'm just, you know, cheap. Maybe I'm just too much of a Scot. Too much of a miser. Too lazy. Since I don't use the tools, I don't know what the tools could do for me. I don't know what they could do better. I don't know what they could do in addition to. I don't know what features I might like to use if I only had them. Seriously, I'm not sure I care. I'm not sure I care. Because this does what I need to have done. I don't need to distract myself with any more things that are different just for the sake of being different, that are new just for the sake of being new. I don't. I use LibreOffice because it's good enough. It does what I need to have done. I donate to them. Which brings me to wrestling with pigs. Which is an odd segue, I know, but it's the other thing that's pretty much dominating my feeds. The advice about wrestling with pigs is that if you wrestle with a, you really probably shouldn't wrestle with a pig. Because all you do is get yourself covered in shit. And the pig likes it. There's my friend with the little poodle dog. The Scotty dog. Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? The little dog was quite excited to see me. And the pig likes it. And that's the problem. The pig likes it. So you're not going to change a pig's mind by doing what a pig does. You're not going to make a pig decide, oh, you know, maybe hanging out in this wallow isn't really all that cool, by getting in the mud with him. And all the people who want to defend pigs see one person wrestling with a pig And they say, see, look, everybody wants to be in the mud. Say it with me, monk post. Everybody likes the mud. Everybody does it. So you can't really talk about getting pigs in the mud. Because if even one person gets in the mud with a pig, then everybody is a pig wrestler. And if your goal is to do away with pig wrestling, then wrestling pigs isn't really helping. Because all you do is get covered in shit. Pigs like it. So yeah, I don't know. I'm walking and not talking. It's not that I'm not thinking, it's just that I don't want to talk about the things I'm thinking about. I've done enough damage for one day. So, okay, let me change the subject and talk about marketing physics. I did a post for Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers last Friday. I got another one coming up the second Friday in September, which is, I think, just, I have to look, I think it's either the same weekend as, might be the same weekend as Rocky Mountain Colorado Gold, their annual conference. And what I need to do is I got three presentations I've got to give. I need to get those put together because it's only a month away. One of them, all I have to do is sort of get out last year's and brush it up a little bit. I got social media theory. I'm going to talk about the intersection between communications theory and social media and how that affects marketing. It's all stuff I've talked about on here hundreds of times. Which is probably true, or probably has been hundreds of times. The other is a new author boot camp. What do you need to do, and when do you need to do it? Because there's just so much crap out there, God. You need to start selling your book before you start to write it. No. Okay, well, I'm going to go with no. I mean, there's a certain nuance. The problem is that strictly cut and dried. It's not exactly... It's a terrible idea. Even though I think that it is a terrible idea. Because you don't know how to sell what you don't have. Until you get it written, you don't have it. So there's that sort of problem. If you start to sell something before you actually have it built, then if you build something different, then you're kind of screwed. What do you need? What do you need to start? So I'm going to start. I'm going to do one of those, base camp. Then I'm going to do the field guide. Then I'm going to do the science. I got to do the theory. What is communication theory? How does it intersect with marketing? How does it intersect with social media? What's that Venn diagram look like? But the physics of marketing, one of my many aphorisms is that backlist is the lever you push against the fulcrum of marketing. It doesn't matter how strong your marketing is. If your lever is too short, you're going to have to work extra hard to get any purchase. And in a lot of cases, you can't have enough force. Good morning. You can't get enough force on the lever to actually get any purchase. So the idea is recognizing this idea of backlist as lever. Recognizing this idea that it doesn't really matter how strong the fulcrum is. If you don't have enough leverage, then trying to push on the lever doesn't really get you anything. Good morning, good morning. And so I think that's a good metaphor. Because when I did this post, it's like the post was hocus focus about people who believe that self-published authors have to work on marketing 90% of the time and writing on 10% of the time, which is just such complete horse hockey. It doesn't. Yeah, it's a big load of apple. But a question in the comments was, well, what do you do? Where do you focus? Where do you do the marketing focus? The answer is not on in the beginning, it's not on marketing. That's the problem. Nobody likes to hear that. At any rate, here I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.